Welcome to the HR Like a Boss podcast. Join John Bernatovich as he embarks on a journey to get to know amazingly awesome HR and business professionals to understand what it takes to do HR like a boss. Each week, John chats with professionals with a wealth of knowledge and practical experience to help you tackle HR's biggest challenges. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe, hit the 5-star rating, and share it with your HR friends. John is a father, husband, competitive golfer, author of HR Like a Boss, and founder of Willery, a professional services firm dedicated to HR and payroll technology and people. He is devoted to transforming the workplace by empowering the HR and payroll communities to navigate their ever-evolving business landscape with ownership and passion. You're listening to the HR Like a Boss podcast, hosted by John Bernatovich.
Hello again, it's John Bernatovich, your host of the HR Like a Boss podcast. I can't tell you, I know I always say I'm super excited for the guests I have on the show. I'm going to tell you why I'm super excited to have Ben Gagan on the show, because not too long ago, he got the chance to interview me on his podcast. Now we're switching the table, so to speak, and we got the mics all ready for it. So Ben, say hello to the HR Like a Boss community.
Well, hello indeed. Thank you very much, John. Nice to be here. And it's definitely more fun asking the questions than it is on the other side of the table, I have to say. But thank you for the invitation.
Why is that more fun? Because you can watch people squirm and your job is just to tee them up and then let them make all the fancy.
Make them wriggle. That's it.
I gotcha. Yeah, you're one of those interviewers. I have to think of the famous Larry King interview with Jerry Seinfeld after Jerry Seinfeld's successful end of the Seinfeld show. And Larry King implied pretty much that, did your show get canceled? Why did your show end? And I never forget Jerry Seinfeld saying to Larry King, do you know who I am? It was pretty funny.
Great response.
Anyway, Ben, tell the HR Like a Boss community a little bit about yourself, your passion for human resources, and some of the work you're doing.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a geographically confused person. I'm an Aussie living in Ireland. My clients are in the US, Canada, UK, and then beyond. So I've gone career-wise in a trajectory from studied HR and industrial relations in Australia, entered a large corporate international company and went through various HR roles through graduate programs and things like that. And for various different HR companies working in Australia and overseas. And then moved into HR consulting and in the latter part of the career, I've been helping companies in the HR space on, you know, marketing and business growth, because that's what I had to go through when I launched my own business. But yeah, passionate for HR. I actually started an association when I was at college called the Industrial Relations Association, but we had to change the name when I realized that the acronym was the IRA. So that was bad timing. I just love the whole field. And I, as you said, I have a podcast myself, so I get to find out what's going on in the sector and all the amazing stuff that people are doing to make it a better place and improve the world of work.
It's pretty cool that this recording that we did 2.5 years ago for content in my book has now gone international. We have had several international guests. So thank you for being an Aussie that's living in Ireland. What part specifically of Ireland are you planted in? Where's home for you, Ben?
I'm in Dublin, but I've been all over the place. Look, if you haven't been to Ireland, by the way, dear listener, definitely check it out. It's a beautiful place to be. But yeah, Dublin.
I can validate that. Really, really crazy cool. And when I was there '99 and everybody had cell phones back before the US had cell phones. So I think Dublin's a year or so ahead of all the trendy kind of technology stuff. And you can get a really delicious pint of Guinness there if you'd like, or two or three.
It's been known to happen. Yes.
Yeah. More than one. Be forewarned, it's room temperature, be forewarned, or something slightly less than that. It's not cold. So for us Americans. Anyway, Ben, people don't care about Guinness, or maybe they do. They talk maybe more they about do. Guinness and Jerry Seinfeld than what this gentleman from Ireland has to share. But I think it's really cool. I met Ben through social media, quite frankly. He was interviewing the evil HR lady who I became friendly with as a result of joining that community. And I thought the interview was fantastic. It was really well done. And Ben was kind enough to take my solicitation and have me on his show. And here we are flipping the tables. But I think you have some really cool things to share as you've been helping out people that transition from HR, other roles into developing HR businesses. But before we get into that whole concept, let's talk about the reason why you're on the show. What is the purpose of human resources? How would you say that, Ben, after all your years of experience?
Wow. Great question. For me, HR is all about unlocking the potential of the business through the people and the people operations. So I used to be such a nerd. I used to love reading books about turnarounds and good to great and all these, you know, classic business books. But I love the fact that so many businesses turned around and became incredible performing organizations, not by buying new equipment or changing the colors of the brands and stuff, but just reworking the way they leveraged the people and brought out what was just sitting there waiting to be tapped into. And I've seen that both through the books and stuff, but in real life, you know, different businesses across the world, I've seen even as an HR manager going from different operation to operation to operation, some would be performing so well, same resources, same company brand, et cetera, but the way that the leaders, you know, guided, facilitated the talents and brought out the best, encouraged, you know, top performance, people who were not performing well, they had systems to help them get better and not just leave them lagging behind, you know, so having the whole ecosystem. But I just think it's such a wonderful, an opportunity for, unlocking, you know, talent and performance.
Yeah. I think it's one of the greatest business opportunities that exist, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I hear all kinds of stories of before and afters. Somebody great sitting in a role and all of a sudden they hire someone not the right fit, don't have the competency, the unfortunate change that can happen in that sense, or the opposite. Someone maybe not the right fit in the role, got a new hire, put the right fit into the position, and things just take off. Life's easier, more energy. I think there's a tremendous amount of power inside the chance of having the right people doing the right things at the right time.
Absolutely.
Now, for those that are maybe sitting as an HR manager, director, senior VP, maybe they're midway through their career or maybe coming to a potential retirement and they're thinking to themselves, okay, Ben was an HR guy and became an HR consultant. Now he does this marketing consultation. The guy that's asking the questions used to serve the HR community in a service perspective, and now I have a firm. What is that career pivot like for somebody going from a corporate HR role into starting a business in human resources?
Well, I'm seeing it more and more with the whole global pandemic and it sort of reshaped people's thinking. I would always start, if I was an HR professional, I would always start by getting in touch with the people at Willery because they are the people who know what's going on, finger on the pulse, and am I in the right role? Are there different opportunities? If you are thinking, no, I want to do something different, then I don't know. Does Willery do interims for the HR and payroll sector? I don't know that.
Of course we do. And you're a pro at this, Ben. This is like a professional. Now I got to give you a plug for if you're thinking about potentially starting an HR business, making that pivot, you got to call Ben. So here we go.
This is the dance. Yeah. So if you look in the interim stuff, honestly, and the reason I mentioned that, I joke, but that was the way I gradually stepped into launching my own HR consulting business. So what a lot of business people do when they leave the HR world and start their own business is they put one foot outside, and that might be through an interim role or part-time role. And often that can be found through a company like Willery, where you've got an HR expertise and they've got, you know, the contacts and can leverage in. So that's one way to do it. But if you're actually looking at starting an HR business yourself and just going out full time, that sort of thing, then I usually use a sort of a five-step growth model. And I base that around the who, what, and where. So the who is, who's your target market? So rather than just trying to be all things to all people, perhaps you could play to your strengths by an industry you've worked in all your career, or something you know about, or particular problems such as seasonal work or employee turnover or high performers or executive coaching, trying to work out who your target market is, what the main issues are for them. And then it's the what are the actual services and the way you're going to structure and price those sort of services. And then the where is, where do you find those people? That's the marketing side. Which methods of marketing will you use to get them? And then finally, the how and the when. So the how is, you know, how do you actually structure your business? Do you have a team? What's the sales process? Things like that. And the when is the timing and the momentum and actually trying to build up a head of steam. And once things are working well, then how can you scale that and turn that into a sellable asset or a more predictable, scalable business.
In all of those five steps, Ben, that you have, what's the number one most common theme you hear from people that are hiring you, or because they started a business that didn't quite take off, or they're about to make a change, or they did an interim project and now they want to go full-fledged into this? What's the one thing that you see consistently from HR professionals that are going through this transition that they're struggling with?
Yeah, I smile because there is one that just crops up time and time again. And so that we're chatting and tell me, you know, what are you planning to do? What's your business? It'll be, I'm going to provide HR services to small to medium businesses. And that's it, full stop. You know, what does that mean? There are millions of SME businesses and they're all types. And if everyone else is saying the exact same thing, then it's a bit like dropping a bit of blue ink into the ocean, just suddenly disappears. Whereas maybe you could try to narrow your focus. And so people get scared by that. Narrowing my focus means I'm leaving money on the table and people won't, you know, I won't be able to pick up so much business. It's actually the opposite. I mean, you look at Willery experts in HR and payroll, you know, talent, you know, people know what you stand for and then, you know, you can expand from there. But if trying to do all things to all people, it's very hard to make a successful business. That's my view. But John, you've been in business longer than me. You'd have thoughts on that, I imagine.
I agree 100%. I think when you're first starting out, especially if you've left a job that you were making six figures doing and you have a family or your own self to feed and a house over your head, you want to make sure you don't get your house repossessed. You got to find money, and you will find that pretty much anywhere that you can. And having that discipline right when you start off in business is very difficult because you have you need a means to an end. You need a requirement of making money, and you'll really take I'll do a search, even though I really want to do comp. I really want to do comp work. That's really where my specialty is. But somebody gave me a search for an HR manager, and guess what they say? Oh, I hate doing search. And I end up not doing that well and pissing off that client and lose the chance of getting comp work. I think it takes time and it takes experiences for people to come to that realization on their own versus getting wise advice from you, Ben. I think it will help them come to that conclusion sooner, but I think oftentimes people have to go through that experience. And it is hard when you're starting off to say no to a potential client. No, I don't do that. And I will tell you, I recently was at an event and my HR manager, Willery's HR manager, was there, and there was a company contact there, and they were talking about a problem that they had. And I met up with them afterward, and she said, I got to give Jen the biggest compliment. I said, what is that? She said, I started talking to her about a problem we had in our business that I thought Willery did, but she quickly told me that we do these two things, but not that exactly. Can I recommend someone else to you? And nice. That client was like, ding, 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 you know, winner of the day comment. And I was so proud of Jen, and it was super cool to see her take that view. And obviously the prospect loved it as well. All goes to your point of it may not seem like infinite wisdom until you're in the midst of it and you hear what the market's telling you.
Absolutely. I think there's a classic book, Good to Great. I think it's by Jim Collins, but and hopefully I'll be in the right book, but in there, the concept of the hedgehog principle. So that the hedgehog's not going to outrun the fox, but it's got this one trick. It's going to curl up in a ball, get spikes out, and it's safe, but it knows what its core competency is. So as Jen sort of pointed out, this is what we're good at. This is what you should come to us for. You know, perhaps we can refer you elsewhere for other stuff, but I think that's valuable for anyone who's thinking about starting their own business or growing their own business is play to their strengths. And funnily enough, John, on that, because I've worked with many companies in the HR space, but including technology space, it's not just, you know, who your target market is and what your services is. I found over time that choosing the marketing methods and the business growth methods are often quite closely aligned to the personalities, not just the resources, but the personalities within the business. So some people want to be out there and will, you know, thought leaders and things like that. Others want to be doing more, you know, paid marketing, running ads because they want to be behind the scenes. So you actually have to think about not just who you're targeting, who you're serving, but yourself. What are your strengths? What do you want to enjoy doing? And like the example you gave with the comp versus the search stuff, not just what will pay the bills, but what you can create and craft into a business over time and you know, really enjoy. Because it all has to tie together.
Yeah, no, wonderful point. Well, I do have to get to the commercial break. Although Ben's been doing such a great job of selling Willery that I may ask him to join our team in some form of fashion. But my guess is in that commercial break, you hear us talk about our interim staffing in HR and payroll. I'll let you check that out, and then I'll be back with a real zinger for Ben. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Willery, your trusted partner in solving HR and payroll challenges. Are you struggling to fill HR and payroll, those talent gaps in your organization? Worried about getting a return on your investment in HR and payroll technology? With Willery by your side, you'll solve these problems. At Willery, your challenges are their priorities. They're passionate about empowering people by ensuring the right people and the right technology are in place for HR and payroll. There's no workforce problem too small or too big for Willery. Their team can help you bridge those staffing talent gaps and ensure you see a substantial ROI on your HR and payroll investments. Don't let HR and payroll issues hold you back. Visit Willery.com today and empower your workforce. That's Willery, your HR and payroll problem solvers.
All right, thank you for listening to that shameless plug on all things Willery. Again, if you think Ben should be our next sales professional or one of our lead marketers, please make sure to make a comment in the show notes or anything on LinkedIn. Appreciate the time with Ben. This has been fun so far. Okay, so I mentioned the zinger, and maybe that was a little too strong of a word. Like, what in the world am I going to do? You mentioned technology before, and as we go through trying to market our services, and as I get into the question, I had a thought on something you said before, and that's kind of the zinger is that, and I know I joked about sales with you. The answer to the question that you gave about not enough clarity, not enough specificity, not picking your lane and what you're the very best at, and the hedgehog concept, ironically, we had just read that book, and we reread that book at a leadership capacity, and the importance of being disciplined as a leader came out of that to me time and time and time again. And I think one of the areas that I feel HR is the least disciplined in is around technology, and that within HR technology, even to the point where it's quoted in my book as saying the most lacking competency of HR leadership is technology, and it's not even close, quoted by my friend Tim Sackett. I wonder, Ben, with all the companies you're supporting, the one-off, one-person HR consulting firm to the large HR tech providers, what innovations are you seeing in HR technology, and what kind of impact do you think it's going to have on the HR profession?
Yeah, it's funny that when we were talking earlier about what does HR do and the impact on the business. So for me, I just had a little flashback to one of my first HR manager job in a manufacturing business, a large company, but they didn't really know what to teach their employees and how to train them up and how to help people other than safety training and don't do this and do that. And so what we did is we started to talk to all the different high performers, let's say, in the different departments, and you know, steel workers, stuff like that. And then what we got them to do is start recording data on when they pushed this button and when did they make this adjustment. And then we turned that into a database, simple old Microsoft Access database, and started to track the data. And then we fed that back into shift reports and stuff. And this is all through some guy in the quality department who knew how to set up Access databases and things. But for me, that was a first example of how you could use data to create an HR outcome. And that meant better quality or better production, you know, yield and output. So you bring that through to now. Just last week or the week before, I ran a session on how to use ChatGPT and AI in both HR consulting and for HR roles. And I think maybe that could be a turning point to the issue around people in HR not being clued up, because it's just everywhere now. You know, this AI phenomenon has, a bit like the pandemic, it's changed people's ideas about remote work and is it possible and hybrid work. And I think this ChatGPT and AI is making people sit up and take notice to the extent that I think people are starting to realize that if I don't learn this stuff and start engaging with it, I could get left behind, because they're starting to see the numbers of even, you know, lawyers are at risk with AI being able to do some jobs, and doctors now, they look at charts that are being scanned first by AI that tells them the different areas to look at. And HR, you know, will be next. If we don't look at how we can use technology to analyze either, I don't know, productivity or engagement levels and things like that, and do it in a smart way, then, you know, private equity sweeps in, buys the company and says, all right, we're just going to put some AI in there now. Unless you've been at the forefront of it and thinking about how can you leverage technology and it's all different forms. So it's a tough one. I think you're right. Within the field, it's been probably slower to engage and stuff, but I'm hoping that we've turned the corner.
Yeah, my concern about that is the data says the average HR technology professional has 3 years of experience. And that's a limited amount when you look at all HR professionals. And I think the idea of an HR technology professional got eradicated out when cloud-based systems came along, and you didn't have to have someone owning and managing the server farm and making sure the patches and updates are happening to the technology. That evolution took away that professional, and then all of a sudden the responsibilities that they were taking care of fell onto the plate of an HR generalist, HR manager, who just so happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time to get that new responsibility. And I think what I'm seeing from an AI standpoint, I'm actually delivering a presentation at the time of this recording. It will be already done at Shurm Talent around AI's impact on the business of HR. Nice. And the way I look at it is artificial intelligence is another evolution and innovation in our world. And it's getting a lot of great publicity. And in that great publicity, it's scaring the you-know-what out of a lot of people. Just you mentioned the pandemic. I'm not comparing ChatGPT or AI to what happened with COVID, but the branding of that was masterful. It has been masterful. And I think in the sense of it, there are a lot of mundane tasks that HR professionals have to do that prevent them from doing the great work you talked about at the beginning of the show, of unlocking the potential of people. Are we really doing that? And are we making it super easy for our executive leadership team to evaluate employees from top to bottom to see if they're being productive, that good cultural fits? Is it right in front of their face with data that they can say, yes, I can clearly make that decision because I'm seeing it with the data. You're giving the validation. I also feel it when I work with the employee that they are a top performer or they are not a fit for our business. And that's what executives are looking for. Give me the information to help validate this feeling I have in my stomach. And I'm not sure HR has figured out a way to make that abundantly clear to non-HR executives. And that, at the end of the day, is what we need to do. We need to market our business to the outside world of being a really great place to work, so we get a high talent pool. And then we need to hire great people that fit that culture and can do their jobs well. And we need to provide them rewards and obviously pay, et cetera. And then they need to feel good about the job they do every single day. All the other stuff that you're doing, I'm not saying it's not important. Paying people is important. Yeah. Making sure they have benefits is important. But those things are table stakes. They're expected of you as an HR professional. You're not going to get a pat on the back for making sure open enrollment went okay. It just isn't happening anymore. Yeah. It's just expected. But you will get a pat on the back for helping executive navigate through a challenging hire, or a providing them with data that says you have three high potentials within this company and we need to put them in a place to shine and be successful. That's where I think HR technology is going, from my perspective, to take away those mundane tasks that we shouldn't be doing anyway in the first place. Absolutely. And it's adding no value whatsoever to the business.
Well, just on that, John, like I said, people might be getting scared or seeing the statistics about the rise of AI and think, oh, no, I know. Flip it around. See it as a good thing. Because when I first had my first HR team as the HR manager, I said our goal should be two things. One is the compliance and the procedural stuff, the things that we have to do to get, you know, operational HR stuff happening, we just need to make sure that is seamless, that nothing falls through the cracks. Because if we make mistakes, then people don't trust us enough to do the higher level stuff that we want to get into, where we really do make an impact and really challenge and excite the business. So you leverage the HR systems that are coming through to either get rid of that or free you up to do the good stuff. So it's not about necessarily removing jobs and tasks and people, but it's let's you went into HR for a reason, so play to that, enjoy it.
Yeah, and as I said, the exactly right. In the past, we've had the personal computer innovation happen, and what did people think about that? And then the internet came along that Al Gore invented. That's a joke, or maybe not, but that, you know, takes claim for that. And then social media comes along, and the world's going to end because of it. And now AI is here, and quite frankly, something more sinister and more concerning and more scary is coming in 2, 3, 5 years from this AI situation. We're going to be obsessively talking about that, and AI is going to be old hat. It's going to be, oh, we did that. We figured it out. We know what the world is like. And that's coming. You just have to be prepared for it. And if you're sitting there, if you're on your client server technology, protecting that server and patching in all those batches you need to make sure the system stays up, you've been passed by. I'm sorry. And it's just the way of the world. And you got to get in front of it, and you got to immerse yourself into it to understand what the hell it is. Pardon my French.
And then enjoy it, just use it and become a better leader and a better HR professional as a result.
Simple. All right. This is the HR Like a Boss podcast. You're a guest on it, Ben. You've been fantastic. I wrote a book called HR Like a Boss that came out at late 2023. Super successful. Check it out on Amazon or the Sherm store. Thank you so much for all the great support around that. We built the HR Like a Boss community, which Ben is a member of and participates in. So if you're not a part of that, please make sure to check that out. Anyway, it's all things HR Like a Boss. So I get all guests out with a very simple question. How would you describe someone that does HR Like a Boss?
Someone who does HR Like a Boss to me has a vision of what they want to achieve for their function and for the business. And then they set goals to that. They apply data and a system to track how they're going with that. And then they implement systems and processes and encourage the people to do their absolute best, supporting them by opening the doors for them, providing those resources, guidance, and advice. And with all those things in line, people enjoy it, get into the state of flow, the business performs better, and you've got a business and a workplace to be proud of.
Ben, awesome job. We'll make sure to let our audience know how to get a hold of you in case you're contemplating a change out of corporate HR into some sort of business that's associated to human resources. Or if you're a vendor out there listening to say, hey, our marketing department's all screwed up, we need some of that clarity as it relates to how Ben's organization can support us. All for that. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Ben, I'm going to do a quick recap because I've been told that's some of my guests or some of my audience's favorite part of the show. You first talked about the importance of unlocking the potential of a business through the power of your people. And I then complemented that with, I think that's the greatest opportunity that we have in business, this chance of really unlocking people's potential, not so focusing so much on the ones that aren't working out well, but the ones that are and continuing to iterate that. You want help. You want to help reshape people's thinking around potential transitions from an HR corporate role into a human resources consulting capacity, in which you suggest being very narrowly focused, being very specific with who you want to target from a client standpoint, and deliver that time and time and time again. And sometimes the easiest entry for that is to take an interim project, to tip your toe in the water, so to speak, to see if that feels like the right thing to do. You also have these 5 steps to help you go through that transition, which answers a lot of questions from who, what, where, when, and how. And we ended the show with 2 main points, talking about immersing ourselves into technology and becoming a thought leader and someone that really leverages it in a way that can make a difference, and so that you can focus on the things that really are strategic in your business. And lastly, you talked about being a visionary, setting goals, getting data, and executing and operating upon those. Awesome job, Ben. I had a great time having you on the show. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself.
Definitely. Thank you, John.
And you survived being on the other side of the mic. You did just fine.
You were great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for checking out the HR Like a Boss podcast. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, you're in for a treat with the book, HR Like a Boss. It's filled with more stories and valuable insights that can truly impact your HR career. The journey doesn't end here. Visit www.hrlikeaboss.com to join the largest community of amazingly awesome human resources professionals who are committed to doing HR like a boss. Stay connected with us on social media, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button, rate, and review. Your feedback helps us deliver content that matters to you. Reach out to join directly at john@willery.com. Until next time, let's continue to aspire to do amazingly awesome HR.